May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is from Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 is an amazing chapter because it just sort of declares the radical nature of Christianity. Because it is a radical departure from what we were before. I think often, especially in the West, we want to dummy it down and sort of drag in some of our comfort zone stuff into the new life in Christ, but there's nothing comfortable other than the Holy Spirit about being a Christian. And it's going to get more so in the days ahead. This is verse 27. It says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. Whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you. Whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back." I do think that just that section right there, if Christians would take that literally and start walking that out, they would have to go through as near as many inner healing conferences as they have to go through. "And just as you want men to treat you, treat them in the same way. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even lost sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even lost sinners do the same thing. And if you lend to those whom you expect to receive," wow, "what credit is that to you? Even lost sinners lend to lost sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil people. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not pass judgment, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you'll be pardoned. Give," and this is all in the context of not really money, though lending is part of it, but just giving mercy, giving grace. "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they will pour into your lap. For whatever measure you deal out to others, it will be dealt to you in return." To live that kind of life, one, involves radical and extravagant and sacrificial love. But the other is trusting God. Because if you lend to people that you don't expect anything in return, or somebody asks for your shirt and you give them your coat to, you're going to have to trust God that somehow it's going to work out okay for you, materially and financially, right? But what we do is we always rationalize. I remember we were in a situation where somebody, a Christian, took a lot of advantage of us, misled us, wasn't honest with us about some stuff, and we lost all the savings that we had. And the counsel I was getting from Christian lawyers was to sue him. Because that's... And the amazing thing when I would read about all that in Scripture and trying to find out what to do, how Americans particularly bend the Scriptures because it's very inconvenient not to get your money back from that person. So we just bend Scripture so that we can sue and do all those kind of things. Because radical love involves trusting God. But I couldn't come to a place where we could just do that. And now, I haven't seen the whole outcome of all that yet, but I'm just having to trust God that He'll honor that kind of thing. And God will use that to help this person come to a place of transformation in her own life. But I was just thinking about that, is that, like, it's not just about extravagant love, but extravagant love involves extravagant trust in God, because extravagant love means making yourself very vulnerable. It's costly. It's expensive and it's risky. And sometimes it looks like things are just walking out the door that you may never see again. Things that you liked, things that you wanted. I mean, how many times have I dealt with petty little issues among believers because somebody borrowed something from them and they didn't bring it back, so they're bitter towards them? Really? Evidently, they didn't read this chapter. So that's what sinners do. That's what lost sinners live. He said, but Christians lend expecting nothing in return. So if you can't do that, don't lend. But then there's other issues that come with not being stingy, not trusting God. That's what it says. So you don't have a right to have attitude. That's radically trusting God. Maybe the deal is if you trust Him with it and they don't bring it back, God will give you three or four of the same thing, but better. You know? But I've dealt with that so many times over the years, it's just funny. And even among my sons, Luke gets mad all the time because Woody borrows stuff and never brings it back. I'm thinking, that's your brother. That's your blood brother, not just your Christian brother. You don't have the right to have an attitude towards him. Don't give it to him if you're going to get an attitude towards him. But one of the things I was thinking is that when you read scriptures like this, you think, well, how do I reach towards that place? How do I get from where I'm at to there? How do I move towards that kind of radical love? Well, the issue is, as Christians, you don't move towards that at all. You move from that. You were born into that. So let's just apply again this whole issue about being born again. If you were born into Christ the moment that you were saved, then you were born into union with all that He is, and part of that is His heart. And so you don't try to advance so that you can love like that. You advance from a place that you're in union with Christ and He loves like that. But He needs the frame that makes up your humanity to continue to do that kind of life. Now, obviously we grow in our experience of it. That's the whole sanctification thing. But it's not like, oh gosh, I can never love like that. Well, yeah, you absolutely can. Because the one who loves like that, you're in union with Him. It says in Romans 5 that the love of Christ has been shed abroad in your heart already by the Holy Spirit who has given you as a gift. In Timothy, it says, you've not been given the spirit of timidity or fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. You've already been given that. So we live that life not trying to get to some place, but we live that life from someone. Just simply yielding, coming to grips with, here's the deal. We treat Christianity like, okay, I signed up, I became a Christian, I prayed the prayer. Now, here are the things I'm negotiating. Am I going to do this? Am I going to do this? What you don't understand is, what we have to understand is that you were born into the life of Christ, and this is the kind of life He lives. There's nothing to negotiate. That's what He assumed when you went into baptism. You died. You came up, and now He gets the right to live out His story, and His story looks like that, supernatural, crazy love. The whole point is, you were born into Him so that now Him and you can live out that life through you. That's the deal. There are no negotiations. So what I've discovered about Christianity is not that you're going to get more of God. Well, I want to get there so I can be more like that. No. You can't get any more than what you got. You got it all. You were born into the fullness of Christ. But what happens, He just gets more of you. That's the real issue. He gets more of you. So that He has the right to tell His story His way. And it's a radical story told in a radical, extravagant way. And it doesn't fit the American culture or any other culture. It's the kingdom of God culture. And we don't have any rights in it. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.